Obadiah. 13 different Obadiahs in the Bible. 13 different men by that name. His name means servant of Yahweh. People are undecided about the exact time frame of Obadiah's ministry. Some people feel strongly that it was around the 8th century or the 7th century, but kind of close to Joel's ministry. Some people would argue that he was a little bit before Joel. Others argue that he was a little bit after Joel. He uses a little bit of similar terminology. You're going to find out that his message and his prophecy is geared really toward one nation. And that nation is Edom, the descendants of Esau. His prophecy really isn't geared toward Israel. But what we're going to see in it is that Edom, for whatever reason, rejoiced when Israel was under attack. They rejoiced when Israel was cursed. And because of that, God took notice of it, and God used Obadiah to tell them, because you are ridiculing my people, and because you're cursing my people, then I'm going to take action against you. Don't talk about my son. He's my son. I'll chasten my son Israel. You just deal with you. But because you are harsh with my son, then I'm going to take care of you. And so that's really the direction of his prophecy. He seems to have lived in Judah. In the prophecy, he gives Israel hope because it's during a time of discouragement. So this is a hope-filled message for Israel while they're under attack so that they can have great refuge in the idea that God is going to be with them and for them. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We've heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, let us rise up against her in the battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle. In other words, Edom was a big bragger. I mean, he was really bragging about how secure they were, how fortified they were. And if you travel in the area of Edom, if you ever get a chance to go with us to Israel and we take that extension to Petra, you can see how rocky it is and how there are these great gorges and cliffs. And you can see how people can feel pretty secure as they would make their homes and their cities in these valleys surrounded by these rocks. They can feel pretty strong. So Obadiah prophesies to that. They're feeling pretty confident, self-sufficient. They don't need anything. Nobody's going to bring me down. And though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. So it really is like the Lord to humble a nation, to humble a person. Isn't it like the Lord to do that? He says what? A haughty spirit goes before a fall. Pride goes before a fall. And so it's just like the Lord. He says, look, if somebody thinks there's something, I know how to humble them. I know how to bring them down. And, if you know somebody like that and you can see it, usually what happens when a person is filled with pride, usually they don't see it themselves. Because pride blinds us. It affects the eye, the spiritual eye, if you will. And usually if a person is filled with pride like that, they don't really see it. They'll confuse confidence with arrogance. So really somebody else can see it first. Listen, you don't have to try to humble that person. You don't have to be the Holy Spirit. God's fully capable, and God can do it so much better than you and I can. We just have to be like Christ, after God has done that, to sort of pick up the pieces and be merciful with that person. And then help them along their way like that. So if you know somebody like that, it isn't long before God's going to just humble them and sort of just, you know, tweak them the right way to put them in the right place. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are these his hidden things sought up? And see, what he's saying is, pride is the kind of thing that can deceive a nation. Pride is the kind of thing that can deceive a person so that the person can't even see how weak they are or how vulnerable they are. That's how pride and arrogancy and ego can keep somebody in that vulnerable place. Because you don't even know how vulnerable you are. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? See, he refers to Esau because the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. So he brings that up. And thy mighty men, O Teman. Teman was a city that was renowned for their schools and the wise men that lived there. In fact, oftentimes people would know, if I want some wisdom, I go to Teman and look up these guys that know so much. Thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Now, why does he say Jacob? Because you go back in their history, you go back to their father, it's Esau, Jacob's brother. And he's basically saying to Edom, he said, wait a minute, you came from the same family. Why are you so overjoyed that Jacob is suffering right now? Why are you taking pleasure in it? Why are you thrilled with this? He's your brother. You should want to help them. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. This is interesting because what you're going to see in the next few verses is, number one, they just stood by and they watched, and they didn't help them. Like we just read, thou wast as one of them. And what God says is, because you just watched, you were like one of those people. You're culpable because you just watched what happened to them, and you didn't help them. You didn't do anything to help. So they watched, they didn't do anything. Number two is going to say, you rejoiced when it happened to them. And number three, eventually, you did join in with them. Now we know that God says, concerning Israel, I will bless those that bless Israel, and I will curse those that curse Israel. Isn't that true? That's true for us. And there is an application there for us as believers. What do we think about Israel? How do we treat Israel? It doesn't mean that we don't have a heart for Palestinians. We don't have a heart toward Arabs. It just means that we better be sure that we bless Israel and that we do what we can to support them and help them. So that's the application with our attitude toward Israel. But what is the application to us personally? And I think that's what we get out of these verses. Let's read verse 12. Thou should not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of his distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. I'm reading this and I'm wondering, Lord, is there an application for my life? Is there an application for believers? And basically what he says is, let's not be guilty of step one. Because if we become guilty of step one, what might happen is we can become guilty of step two or step three. You with me? Here we have in our country, this is interesting, we have in our country such an attitude of, I don't want to get involved. I see somebody in trouble. I see somebody in need. Hey, that's not my problem. That's not my deal. Look, I don't want to cause more problems, so I'll just sort of walk by the issue. And hopefully it'll just sort of go away. You ever see like Dateline, Primetime Live? And they try this out. And so they have actors. And sometimes they'll be in the park here, and a guy is just going crazy on a girl, yelling at her, pushing her. And they have the film crew. They have a hidden camera. And they want to see, is anybody going to interact? Is anybody going to stop this maniac? Is anybody going to stand up for what's right? You ever seen those things? And so here, I look to watch it. I go, where's the man? And typically what happens when you see this happening, the girl's screaming. She's under duress. She's under stress. And what happens? You see these men, the film is on these guys on their bikes looking at it, just sort of riding away, you know, passing by. Like, what is the deal? You're just going to let this woman be hit? You're going to let this girl be abused? And nobody wants to take a risk. And who eventually steps up? I see sometimes what happens when people step up. It's these ladies, these older ladies with purses. Right? I mean, they're about 5'7". I could name a few of you ladies. I could just see you doing this, okay? I could just see, here you are, you see this injustice in the world, and these women are the ones who care. The men won't stand up, but the women come, hey, what are you doing? You know, beating, kicking with their pointy shoes, you know? And then the film crew comes out, man, we're so glad somebody responded. What is wrong with America? What is wrong with adults? What is wrong with human beings, with the men in America who won't stand up for right or wrong? Don't want to get involved. Hey, this looks messy. Somebody's going to sue me, man. That guy looks bigger than me. He may punch me out. And all through the scripture, God says, what about the innocents? We should take the cause of the weak, those that are being abused like that. I only hope by God's grace, all of us men in this church, if we see an injustice, we're going to stand up and do something about it. We're going to get involved. We're not just going to walk by and say, hey, man, it's not my deal. What we need to raise in America is young men that will be actively engaged in situations like that. We need to raise young people to say, own up, step up, get involved, defend the weak, defend the poor. You take a punch, you take a punch, but you did the right thing. Amen. So, I guess I'm supposed to be on a soapbox. But this, I think this is the application to my life. I think when I read it, God's saying, okay, Scott, I want you to step. I don't want you to walk by. I don't want you to ignore something. Take a risk and do something. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph as a flame, and the house of Esau for a stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host and of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. Remember Zarephath? That was that place where Elijah was called to, and he met the widow there, and she had, you know, she didn't have a husband, but she was very poor, and she had her son, and they were ready to die. They were destitute. And God sent Elijah there to let her know, you're not going to die. You know, the meal is not going to wear out, and the oil is not going to wear out. You're going to have a continual supply. Great story there. We don't have time. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. That's a great note to end on. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. So let's stand. We'll pray. And it just sort of to recap this morning, I hope that everybody, you know, really heard the whole heart of that message this morning. We have to really be careful that we're going to be disciples of Christ. It's very easy today to if we're not careful, to sort of get the attitude, sort of become a little harsh, and take up the cause of maybe a talk show host. Take up the cause of somebody who may even be conservative on the radio or on TV. We can see all the injustice in the earth, see all the injustice in the country. And this guy's very prevalent, very prominent within Christian circles, Tea Party circles, conservative circles. But honestly, we cannot be shaped or conformed to the image of the world, no matter how conservative it is. We're supposed to be shaped and conformed to the image of Christ. So when I spoke about aliens or illegal aliens and all that, believe me, honestly, you've heard me say before, they should obey the law. It's illegal. It's against the law. Okay? But at the same time, my attitude, my heart to that individual who may be breaking the law, who may not know Christ, I have to see it as a sovereign hand of God who might have brought that person in my path so that I can preach the gospel to them and so that they can get saved. And I shouldn't have a harsh attitude like that person on TV or like that person on the radio, even though I want the right thing to be done. You with me? So we want to make sure we're disciples of Christ. We're agents of mercy, compassion, grace at the same time. Okay?